Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this last edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 29th of October 2017. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram and follow me at Willow Gerald Quinn. Minnesota up 23-16. About 11 minutes or so left in the fourth quarter. They're about to score again on the Cleveland Browns. The Browns, who have actually played decently in this game, have actually made it a game, as they are. NFL continues these series of London morning games. I believe this will be the last one of the season. So Minnesota up 23-16. Second and goal driving on the Cleveland Browns. We'll certainly keep you posted on that game as the program, as we further along, moving along, right along in the program, as Minnesota just looked like they just scored. Yep, they just scored another Twitter touchdown to take a commanding 29, soon to be 30-16 lead. Case Keenum to Kyle Randolph, Rudolph. I'll put it on the back of the end zone. But we begin with the Washington football team, who will go into this matchup with the Dallas Cowboys as banged up as they've been throughout the course of the season. If you haven't heard, the basically three-fifths of the offensive line is going to be out. Trent Williams, Spencer Long, and Brandon Sheriff are all out. And you remember, their number one reserve, Ty Nsekhe, has been done since, still is scheduled to come back till, mid-November. He's been out since the end of September, So they're going to have all types of problems trying to protect Kirk Cousins, I guess, in improving Dallas pass rush that ranks in the top five in terms of sacks. I think Dallas has like 21 sacks on the season, and ever since David Irvin came back, the pass rush has looked better, much better. We know what DeMarcus Lawrence can do or coming off the edge, so they're going to be banged up on the offensive line. Remember, you also have, questions in that secondary with Josh Norman, DeShazer Everett, Bashawn Breeland also being questionable. I think Norman will play. We'll play Preston Smith. So those guys are questionable, probably close to being game time decisions. I think Bashawn Breeland is probably close to being a game time decision. And of course, only Dallas has one major injury, and that's Dan Bailey, the kicker, which could, if this is a close game, could come into play. As it will be, the weather, it's supposed to be raining down in D.C., so down in this area, so that could come into play with the footing and things of that nature if this indeed is a closely contested game. But Washington has reached that point of the season where they are in the season-defining stretch. They lose to Philly last week. They have at home with Dallas this week. They have Minnesota next week. So, Minnesota here next week. So that is it. These next couple of games will tell you what direction their season is going in. It does not get any easier. The schedule is brutal. And today is a game that, frankly, if you want to, you're trying to make the playoffs, if you have any thoughts. See, I think the division for Washington is over. I think the division, they're not winning that division. They're already 3.5 games behind Philadelphia. I don't see them catching the Eagles, especially being swept by them. So now it's about trying to find enough wins to navigate yourself to the playoffs. And in the AFC, in the NFC, it looks like it's going to take at least, I would say, the minimum 9 wins to get to the playoffs. Right now, Washington is at 3. So how do they get? How can they get six more wins in these next, you know, 10 games, in order to possibly make the playoffs? But yeah, a bunch of teams banked. They have a bunch of teams with 3 losses. They are behind a bunch of teams in terms of in the loss column. Again, the schedule is brutal. You're talking about home to the Cowboys, at Seattle next week, home to the Vikings, at New Orleans. That is, again, that will tell you, by Thanksgiving, we will know what direction the season is headed in. By Thanksgiving, you know where they will be. You will know whether they'll be playing meaningful games in December or not. Right now, Washington is banged up. They're coming off a game against Philadelphia where they had opportunities. They had opportunities. You know, again, left points on the board. Got off to a fast start, but couldn't finish. And again, offensively, you know, their offense and defense is not coexisting right now because, number one, the offense cannot stay on the field on third down, and the defense can't keep the other offenses off the field. So what you're going to do, what you've been seeing is their offense, you know, defensively, they'll hold up. But again, the offense has not been able to have sustained drives, and you know, you'll see their defense wearing down in the third and fourth quarters, and that's what's been happening. That's what's been happening their last couple of losses, even with the San Francisco win, where they get off to a fast start but start fast and then finish slow. We'll see what happens against a Cowboy team that's playing better. The Cowboy team that will have Ezekiel Elliott, you know, a Cowboy team that you know what they want to do. They want to pound you with the run, set up some play action. They want to have Dak Prescott making safe throws, not have to make too many throws out of the pocket. They want to control the clock with the time of possession. And they want to control this game in Dallas with their offensive line. Again, the keys to me to this game will be the Washington pass rush. The Washington pass rush has got to get to Prescott. They've got to control the line. They've got to contain Elliott. And more importantly, get to Prescott, force some turnovers, create some extra possessions. Because I don't think Washington is going to be able to run the ball. I think if Washington wants to win this game, they're going to have to win it. And, you know, I just don't think they're going to be able to run against Dallas with that offensive line. I think if they want to win it, you know, Kirk Cousins, they're going to have to win it. Maybe they want to win it possibly in a shootout. I don't see Washington really having any success running the football with the offensive line as currently constituted with having 3 guys banged up. So I think Washington's best chance is you're going to see, and again, I wouldn't be surprised to see them throw the ball, have Kirk Cousins have one of these 40 to 45 pass attempt games. I don't expect much of a running game, but the Washington defensive line is going to have to dominate this game in order for the Redskins to have any chance to win this game. Because right now, with that offensive line being banged up, the offensive line, I don't think Washington's offensive line can stand up to Dallas's defensive line. So, to me, it comes down to what can Washington's defensive line do against that Dallas offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott and containing Prescott, keeping Prescott in the pocket. Prescott is not the same quarterback in the pocket as he is outside the pocket. You keep him in the pocket, he becomes average to mediocre. He becomes dangerous when he rolls out. So it's very simple to me. Make him make throws from within the pocket, and you give yourself a much better chance against him than against that Dallas offense. 347-215-6180. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Gwynn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back with this morning's headlines. 13, 10 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour in this last edition of Zero Zero Coins Sports Podcast, as we discuss a week 9 of NFL action, week 8 of NFL action. Some teams will be playing the 8th game. Again, the real midway point will be next week after week 9, where every team will have played 8 games. So, but again, season not too far away from Thanksgiving. Still a lot of football to be played, still a lot to be determined in regards to the NFL. Today's headlines: Jerry Jones is amongst 17 owners who are trying to halt the Roger Goodell extension. An extension that's been on the table since basically since, you know, August, and it still hasn't gotten done. Now, yet a lot been going on in the past couple of weeks in regards to with the owners meeting with some of the players and some of the executives from the Players Association about the issues with the national anthem. There was an article on ESPN that came out a couple of days ago that gave, you know, in great detail what transpired during that meeting, including Bobby Mayer's comments about, you know, inmates running the asylum, running the prison. Those comments that kind of sparked and almost caused a revolt within the Houston Texan team, with, you know, basically almost half the team walked out. Turns out that only Dustin Hopkins, you know, missed practice. Everybody else, you know, had to be talked into coming back to practice or not walking out. Houston is expected to do a protest today during that game as they take on Seattle. I'll say this. So, you know, I read that article, and good article. Don Van Adam, who is as good as an investigative reporter in terms of sports as there is in the business today. I'm kind of confused about Goodell and his position. From a standpoint of, he really is going against the grain in regards to the owners. I was surprised that they did not invoke a mandate for the players to stand. I was surprised about that. And, you know, Goodell, I'm not gonna say that he's on the player's side, but he's not right now. Goodell and the owners are not seeing eye to eye at all, and that is not, you know, that's not a place. You know, again, Jerry Jones has a lot of power. He throws his weight around, and Jones, in the worst way, wanted that mandate that players would have to stand for the national anthem, and didn't get it. And when he didn't get it, you knew something like this was going to come out, was going to happen, could possibly happen. And again, I'm surprised that Goodell has tried to battle and go tit for tat with these owners. But again, I don't know if Goodell maybe sees the end of the tunnel, maybe he sees the end of the line, maybe this is, if he's feeling a sense of guilt for how the players have been treated. I'm still trying to figure out what Goodell's motivation is right now. As a league, the NFL looks clueless on this situation in terms of dealing with the protests and the national anthem and all that's going on for the past month or so. They look entirely clueless. You got players who, you know, just completely don't trust owners right now. But, I mean, the players just don't, like, and every time this thing is about to calm down somewhat, you have Bobby Mayer or Jerry Jones make a statement that basically pisses the players off. So, right now, again, the NFL is not built to deal with situations like this. It's just not. It's not what they're accustomed to dealing with. They don't handle, you know, they don't handle these types of situations well. And you see a perfect example of that with this. Again, I think there are not enough owners to fire Goodell right now, but 17 is a lot. That's a big number. 32 teams. That's almost half the owners. They had a conference call, a secret conference call at that. There were other owners that had no clue that this conference call was going to take place, talking about, you know, putting Goodell's extension on hold, basically. So that is something to, you know, to watch and moving forward. That's it could be, this could be the beginning of the end of the Roger Goodell era. In terms of him being commissioner, who knows? But see, I get a sense that Goodell feels that it could be the end for him, and he's just not gonna go out. He's not gonna go out easy. If he's gonna go out, I feel like he might want to go out, try to go out on his own terms. Yeah, his terms might not be for the owners. Might be leaning more towards the players than the owners. So I get that sense of possibly be what this is right now. Because again, if Goodell signs off on mandating the players stand, that extension gets done like ASAP. I mean, that extension would have already been done. But the fact that he didn't sign off on that mandate that the players be forced to stand up told you something about the current relationship between he and the rest of, and some of these owners out here. World Series Game 5 tonight. Houston and the Houston Dodgers are tied up at 2. We have Kershaw and Keuchel on the mound. We're in critical Game 5 in Houston. Give the Dodgers a lot of credit. They did what they had to do in regards to tying it up last night. This has been a classic series. All the games have been compelling. Even last night. I mean, you're talking about this game was tight up until basically the ninth inning when the Dodgers broke it open with 5 runs. Here's the thing, moving forward, against a shaky Houston bullpen, to say the least, especially their closer. If I'm Houston, I don't trust Giles. I can't put Giles in a big spot anymore from Houston. He's been destroyed in this postseason, especially by the Yankees, especially with these last two series against the Yankees and Dodgers. I cannot trust him in a big spot moving forward. I just can't. So it'll be very interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they use him. Again, this is a defining start for Clayton Kershaw. It's a defining Kershaw who is going to go down as an all-time great, easily be in the Hall of Fame. This is the biggest start of his career. Tie series, Game 5 on the road. This is where, you know, postseason legends are made. You're Clayton Kershaw. You know, he's won the Cy Young Awards. He's got 3 of those. He's won the MVP. Universally regarded as the best pitcher in baseball. It has been for the last 4 or 5 years. It hasn't even been close. He's that down. He's that great. But you know he's been sick in the postseason. You can come out here and have a big start in the postseason and get the Dodgers to 3-2 with 2 games back in L.A. That would go a long way towards his legacy in terms of, you know, the pantheon of all-time great pitchers. 347-215-6. Also, Dave Martinez is expected to be the next manager of the Washington Nationals. Martinez has been a long-time bench coach for Joe Maddon and the Chicago Cubs. So, Dave Martinez, not John Farrell, not Joe Girardi. I don't even think they had any. I'm not sure they had any real interest in Girardi. I know they interviewed Farrell. Dave Martinez is expected to be named the next manager, the sixth manager in the last, 9 years, in the last 8 years for the Washington Nationals. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back with some college football and much, much more. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Minnesota in total control of this game, up 30-16, just under 5 minutes left with the ball. Just completed a pass to Stephon Diggs for a first down. So Minnesota looking like they're well on their way to another win, which will put them at, six and two, and right now in control of the NFC North division with Green Bay, you know, spiraling with the Rodgers injury. Again, Minnesota, we could see they'll have a bye next week. You could see Teddy Bridgewater back by week 10. Bradford right now is banged up. They don't know when he's a guy who can't stay on the field. Keenum is a solid backup and has done some good things. Keenum has kept the ship afloat, but Minnesota. You have to feel if you're Minnesota that you are a legit with that defense, with an improved offensive line. If you are a legit Super Bowl contender, Green Bay down, so the division's open. This is the opportunity for Minnesota to take a shot at the Super Bowl because, again, they have a championship defense. The running game has been good despite the loss of Cook. If I'm Minnesota, if I'm the Minnesota Brass Zimmer, as soon as Bridgewater is healthy, he will be on the field. And I'm taking my chances with Teddy Bridgewater moving forward. Not a who's who list of games in the NFL this week. Falcons, Jets. We'll see if the Falcons can rebound. They've been struggling the last couple of weeks. We'll see if they can, the Diggs catch has been overturned, so they'll be go back to third down. Falcons, Jets is nothing special. We'll see if the Jets can both teams can rebound off losses. Carolina and Tampa Bay, two struggling teams, facing off in a divisional matchup. Texans and Seahawks could be interesting. Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson matchup. That actually should be a pretty good game in Seattle. We'll see how Houston responds from some of the stuff that's going on off the field with the McNair comments. See how they respond and see what they do in terms of their protests, in terms of the pregame protests. Steelers Lions, the Detroit Pittsburgh is the Sunday night game. That's a decent game. And of course, Monday night you have Broncos Chiefs, and what's turning out, Broncos Chiefs. Kansas City trying to snap their little two-game slide. Broncos trying to score a touchdown. As we'll see, as Broncos offense has been horrible in the last couple of games. So, nothing compelling. I mean, again, Jacksonville, Green Bay, Tennessee, the Rams, Giants, Cardinals had byes this week. Thursday night game was a laugher. Big story out of that, of course, was the Ravens losing Joe Flacco. Listen, I thought it was a dirty hit. I think Alonzo should be suspended. You can't go from a quarterback's head. Put a shoulder into the quarterback's head. When he was clearly sliding, I thought it was a dirty hit. I thought Alonzo should definitely be suspended for the next game. I mean, you got to protect the quarterbacks out here. If you don't have a quarterback, listen, people can complain about the physicality of NFL football and, you know, put a dress on them and comments like that, too soft, you know, too offensive-minded. The bottom line is, you don't have quarterbacks. If you lose a quarterback, you don't have a league. So unless you want to watch Matt Moore's, the Brent Hundley's of the world play quarterback, then then keep having these hits like Joe Flacco took on Thursday night. So that was, again, I thought it was an unnecessary hit. I definitely thought Lonzo should have been suspended and probably kicked out of the game for that. That hit was a clear, to me, cheap shot. It was a dirty hit. That has no place in the NFL, especially against quarterbacks. So, again, not a big weekend, a big weekend of NFL football. Chargers Patriots actually should be pretty good. I'm actually looking forward to that one, to the Chargers Patriots. You know, Raiders Bills. Who knows with that? It is in Buffalo, so it should be that'll be a competitive game. Chargers Patriots should be. I'm looking forward to Chargers Patriots. The Chargers have won 3 straight. Patriots have riot the shit, but now have some key injuries with Dante, with Hightower being out for the season. That's a big injury for the Patriots in that pass rush, which was already not very good to begin with. He probably is their best. I'd say he probably is their best pound for pound defensive player. So we'll see what happens with that game. But again, this is not a big Sunday in terms of the quality of these games with the NFL. Cleveland has the ball down 30-16, but just 3 minutes and some change left, and they are looking at, again, Cleveland, we're looking to most likely fall to 0-8 on the season. Again, I don't think they'll fire Hugh Jackson. I think if they were going to fire Hugh Jackson in season, it would already happen. I don't expect Hugh Jackson to be with the Browns next year, but they're not going to fire him. He will not get fired before the season is over. They're just going to play out the season, try to get another number one pick, get one in, take one of these quarterbacks and move forward. But I don't expect them to get rid of Jackson and Jackson before the season is out. As far as the college football goes, yesterday, the big win is Ohio State and Notre Dame. That was a classic game with Ohio State, Penn State. Penn State has to be sick to their stomachs. They had no business losing that game. I mean, you're up 28-10, 20 in the fourth quarter. They had no business losing that game whatsoever. Give Ohio State credit. Give JT Barrett a lot of credit. Barrett, who will not be a big-time pro quarterback, may not even get drafted, but has had a great college career. We had a big fourth quarter. Ohio State outscored Penn State 19-3 in the fourth quarter, and just a difficult loss for Penn State. Still in the mix. They're still in the mix. Still getting college football. People can't get too crazy about these October, September games, because we saw it yesterday. Two of the top four teams lose. TCU goes down to Iowa State, which has wreaked havoc in the Big 12 over the last month with beating Oklahoma and now TCU. So, Iowa State controls their own destiny for the Big 12. So, Ohio State certainly will be in the mix. Penn State is still in the mix. Notre Dame, I'm telling you right now, Notre Dame runs the table. Remember, Notre Dame has the advantage of not. This is where Notre Dame's advantage of not being a conference comes into play. There are going to be some teams who are. There are going to be some teams like Ohio State, like possibly Oklahoma, not Oklahoma. But there are going to be some teams, or maybe there are going to be some one-loss teams who will be playing conference championship games with a chance to make the playoffs. Notre Dame will not have to play that game. If Notre Dame finishes the regular season with one loss, they will be in the playoffs. You can book it. You can start making your tickets. If you're a Notre Dame fan, you can start booking your flights. For New Year's Eve. I guarantee you Notre Dame will be in the playoffs if they don't lose any games for the remainder of the season. And frankly, they would have deserved it because they are in the midst of a brutal part of their schedule. Losing the Georgia loss looks better and better each week as Georgia has had a big year, and we know it's going to come down to Georgia, Alabama in the SEC championship. Those two teams will be undefeated going to that game. But Notre Dame, still has Miami. They still have Stanford. So they still have a couple tough games. And that Stanford game will not be easy. Neither one of those games will be easy. I'm still not sold on Miami. Miami keeps winning these close games. I know their defense is very good. I'm not in love with their offense. But Notre Dame, that game, the Miami game is at Miami. The Stanford game is at is home. So Notre Dame still has a couple of tough games left before their season wraps up. And again, they have the advantage over these other one-loss teams that they do not have to play an extra game in terms of a conference championship. Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, even undefeated Wisconsin, Oklahoma, those teams more than likely have to play in a conference championship game in order to get into the playoffs. Notre Dame does not have to have that problem to worry about. Notre Dame, again, two big reasons why Notre Dame remains an independent. Number one is the television money. And they don't want to share that with anybody. They're on television. Notre Dame's on national television every week. No other team in college football can say that. That's number one. Number two, why give yourself an extra chance to lose if you don't have to? These conference championships, listen, Ohio State losing the conference championship, they're done. If Wisconsin losing the conference championship, they're done. If Georgia losing the conference championship, they're probably done. Alabama could be done, depending on who wins and who loses if they lose the conference championship, regardless of even if they're undefeated going into that game. So you're going to see, the playoff rankings will be out the 31st Tuesday. Expect to see Alabama 1, Georgia 2. After that, I don't know. After that, you could have Ohio State 3. You could have Ohio State 3, Notre Dame 4, possibly. So that could possibly be your top 4. But the first two are lock and key. Alabama will be 1. Georgia will be 2. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this basic edition of the Silver Joe Court Sports Podcast. When we return, we will have NFL picks for Week 8 in a league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. Picks. I have three games for you. First, we've been traveling down to Cincinnati. The Bengals, who have been playing better defensively of late, offense still has been sporadic, host the Indianapolis Colts, who are seemingly, by the week, is seemingly more and more looking like Andrew Luck will not return this season. That's just my opinion. That's kind of been, it hasn't been officially, put out there, but it's seemingly it's gonna turn out that way. But despite that, I'm not in love with the Cincinnati Bengals being a 10.5-point favorite. It has been a wild season. It's been, if you notice, if you're a guy who's been into betting and Vegas and favorites and. You've noticed that the underdog, it has been a season of underdogs in the NFL in regards to points. 10.5 points is too many points for a Cincinnati offense that's not that good to begin with. I will take Cincinnati to win this game, but I will take Indianapolis with the points. think this will be a closely contested game. I don't see Cincinnati running away from this game at all. Minnesota's just kicked the field goal to go up 33-16. If you still have any, if you still have any interest in that game, with about a minute left. So I'm going to take Indianapolis with the points. Ten and a half is too many points. Game number two, Chicago at New Orleans. Again, New Orleans 9.5-point favorites. I know they're going for it straight, but again, the Superdome is not what it once was as far as the home field advantage for the Saints. You have a Chicago team that's feisty, a Chicago team that's playing hard, and a Chicago team that's played well against good teams. Keep that in mind. Chicago has played well against good teams. I like the way the Bears are playing. I'm not in love. Again, Trubisky, I'm not saying Trubisky is the second coming of a big-time quarterback. What I'm telling you is I think the Bears are playing well right now. Look at some of the Bears' losses against good teams. You know, they lost by six against the Falcons, lost by 3 points against Minnesota. So they've had some good losses. They had some close losses against good teams. Beat the Steelers, beat the Ravens, beat the Panthers last week. I'll take Chicago with the points. Again, eight points is too much. The line has cut that. The line actually has been down from 9.5 to 8. 8 points is still too much to me. I think this will be a field goal game in the fourth quarter. I'll take Chicago with the points. Finally, San Diego at New England, 7 points. New England is a 7-point favorite. I don't think New England can block San Diego. San Diego with Ingram and Bosa have one of the best pass rushes in football right now. I like how San Diego is playing. They have some good, talented players on offense with Gordon Allen. I think this will be. I'm going to take San Diego not only with the points, but I'm taking San Diego with the upset. So I'm taking San Diego to outright beat New England at New England. We know New England has been shaky at home, as it is, has been very shaky at home. So I'm going to take New England. I will take Indianapolis with the points, Chicago with the points, and San Diego with an outright upset, not only with the points, but an outright upset over the New England Patriots. That is week 8 picks in a league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. This edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. Of course, Washington, Dallas will be down in the DMV trying to get above 500. Both teams trying to get above 500. Washington is trying to win their first game in the division. They're 0-2 in the division right now. You have a Dallas team that's playing well. The offensive line is playing better for the last couple of weeks. Ezekiel Elliott has ran the ball well. Dak Prescott has been solid all year long. You know, I still don't think that I think he's a little overrated. I don't think he's not a top tier quarterback. I think he's very good. Don't think he's a top tier quarterback, but he's certainly a guy that can hurt you outside the pocket. The big story coming to this game is the state of the Washington Redskins offensive line, which is in shambles right now. They have 3 guys out, Trent Williams, including their 2 best players, Wade Williams and Sheriff, who are both out. Special Long is out as well. Right now, we don't know. Mason Foster defensively is done for the season with his injury. Breedland is going to be a game time decision. The change of effort, Josh Norman, I expect both of those guys to play. Preston Smith, I expect him to play. Dallas, really only one injury of note, and that's the kicker Dan Bailey, all world kicker Dan Bailey, which, if this game is close, could play a role if this game is close in regards, because he is that good of a kicker. I think Dallas probably gonna have a guy Hawkins kicking Nugent. Not yet. I think Nugent. They brought in Nugent to kick. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, this game, I don't like to overstate. I don't like overstating. Well, this is must win. Because the bottom line is, if either one of these teams lose, if Washington loses, you can still got to play next week. You know, it's not like your season is over. But right now, Washington, you know, needs a win, not only just for, in terms of the standings, but just to feel good about themselves. The last couple of games, they have not played well. The San Francisco game, even in winning the game, they did not play well in that game. Didn't finish the game well. They were very fortunate to win. Philly game, they started out great, but Philly ran all over them in the second half, and Washington didn't finish that game off the way they could have, or in the way that would got them a victory in Philadelphia. So they haven't played well, you know, in a couple of weeks now. Even you have to go back to like the first. I'd go back to basically the first quarter of the Kansas City game to really get a sense of this team playing at a high level. But the good news, if you're a Washington fan, is they are 2-0 following a loss. 2-0 following a loss. Again, they're playing a Dallas team that's playing well right now. A Dallas team whose offensive line seems to be clicking back to close to where it was last year. Not quite on that level, but at least close to where it was last year. Again, to me, the key would be the Washington front seven. How much havoc can they wreak against Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott? If they can keep Ezekiel Elliott out of the end zone, hold him to around between 75 and 90 yards, that'll be fine enough. If they can keep Dak Prescott in the pocket, they'll give themselves a much better chance to win this game. Dak Prescott is not the same quarterback. He is not the same quarterback in the pocket versus outside the pocket. Take him in the pocket any day versus moving outside the pocket. So if Washington can control him in the pocket, they'll give themselves a much better chance to win. Their front seven, Kerrigan, Preston Smith, those guys have to come up, have to knock him around, and he has to control Ezekiel Elliott to have a chance in this game. Also, of course, you have what's going on in the NFL. Houston, the players have protests to stage their protest. I don't know if that's going to be kneeling. I don't know, locking arms. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're expected to stage a protest in Seattle as they will travel to take on the Seattle Seahawks. And we should be, and quietly, Seattle has rebounded and playing good football, scoring a lot of points. The defense is playing well. So quietly, Seattle has crept up into being one of the better teams in the NFC. Russell Wilson playing well. The defense is playing, is back to playing as close as it's back to playing. Seattle defense, quality, good defense. You look up and they're only giving up, you know, barely 16 points a game. So even though I don't think the Seattle defense is a vintage Seattle defense, is playing, it still ranks number one right now in terms of scoring defense. Other than that, there are not that many good games this week in the NFL. Seattle or Houston should be fun. I think Seattle Houston will be a pretty good game. I think the San Diego New England game will be a great game. I think that'll be a closely contested game. San Diego's playing well right now. New England has struggled at home for some reason. So that'll be a good game. You had Monday night with Kansas City and Denver. Denver needs the game in the worst way. Kansas City trying to snap a two-game losing streak, so you'll have that as well. But overall, not a strong week Sunday of NFL action. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Sergio Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Enjoy the games. Have a great rest of the day.